I love to teach, and I especially love to teach God's Word, and I thank Brother Jimmy for the opportunity, and I do so under his authority as our pastor. Would you turn with me to Acts 19? Acts 19. We're going to start in verse 1. The question that I'd like to ask you today is the same question that we're going to find in this passage. And that question is this: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I'm asking every person in the room, I would like for you to think about your answer to that question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let's look at this passage together. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is a question that in about 2007 I took note of because God led me to really take note of this in the Bible. I was really shocked by the passage because as I started reading and it said that Paul met these disciples, I saw that word. They were disciples, they were believers, they were followers. I thought his question was such a strange question to ask them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so I asked myself that question. Did I receive the Holy Spirit when I believed? And my answer was a lot like theirs. This NIV says, "No, we have not heard there is a Holy Spirit." Some other renditions say, "No, we've not heard that the Spirit has been poured out." Maybe not that they'd never heard of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know the Spirit had been poured out. For me, my answer was, "I don't know. I don't know." I started following Jesus when I was about 5. I made a profession of faith. I was a little girl, but I remember going to my mother on a Sunday afternoon while she was frying chicken for lunch and telling her that I wanted to invite Jesus into my heart. I remember talking to the pastor, and I remember vaguely him coming to the house. I don't really remember my water baptism because I was about 5, and I just don't have a memory of it. But the question of did I receive the Holy Spirit when I believed, I don't remember anything about that. I don't remember any talk about the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't sure of my answer. And I wanted to be sure of my answer, don't you? And so I really began to dig in to the Word and let the Lord dig into me, and let's answer this question, right? Let Him answer the question. And I encourage you to do the same. This is not a question that anybody else can answer for you. It's really not. Not your parents, not your pastor. The Bible, you, and the Lord can work through this. And it's He'll make it very, very clear to you. Receiving the Holy Spirit is clearly promised, prophesied, and fulfilled in the Bible. Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. And I'm going to lead you through looking at some of that today. It was taught by Jesus himself. It was called the promise of the Father, and it was clearly experienced by New Testament believers, and it is something that they knew experientially. They knew they had received the Spirit, and others around them could tell they had received the Spirit, and it had results. The results that the Bible speaks of are many, but one especially is power. Power. We'll look at some scriptures about that. If you have any hesitancy in answering the question today, then what I'm going to talk about through the scriptures, I hope will be for you. If you have, as soon as I answered that question, a yes, and you know that you've received the Holy Spirit and it's just a joyful answer to you, then I hope that I can help you to maybe share the gospel, share the word, share about the receiving the Spirit the next time that you talk to somebody. So the first mention, I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures. I don't expect you to have time to turn to every one of them, but a lot of them I'll just read, and you can make note of them and go home and read them this afternoon. Unless you're a fast Bible driller, you can move around with me. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is right in Genesis 1:2. You know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then in Genesis 1:2 it says, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. So the Holy Spirit is God. He was with God, and he is God. And in the Genesis account, Genesis does not go ahead and talk about Jesus, but John 1 does tell us that Jesus was with God in the beginning, and Jesus was God. So we have our God, who is one God, who manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we see that throughout the scriptures. Throughout the Old Testament, the way that we see the Holy Spirit, and I encourage you to go through the Old Testament, and as you read, notice the Spirit's role. Notice times that the Bible clearly says that the Holy Spirit came upon this person, and they did such and such, or they said, or they knew. So in the Old Testament, the work of the Holy Spirit is like that. It's for certain people at certain times for certain tasks that the Lord wanted to be done. You don't see an outpouring in the Old Testament of everyone having the Holy Spirit come upon them. But you see numerous people that the Lord uses that the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they might be able to do things like have knowledge. They might be able to do a skill. Sometimes Samson even had great physical strength. They could hear what God was saying. You know, God had the prophets that would listen on the behalf of the people and speak to them. Those were some dream interpretations, warnings, right? You can think of many people, and I had a big list of them. We were going to look at all that, but we'd have been here all day to see all the ways that the Lord's Holy Spirit came upon people. And many of the times it was for prophecy. It was to tell a future event that was going to happen to Israel, the children of God, the people of God, and to talk about the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. And some of the prophecies are specifically about the Holy Spirit. And I want to share a few about those. This is Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. Ezekiel was told to tell Israel that God will, and now I'm the quoting of the scripture, give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow decrees. To me, that's one of the most encouraging prophecies that I can imagine, because to finally know that it was going to come from the inside, that God was going to take my heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh and give me a new spirit within me and move me. He would move me to follow his decrees. Isn't that amazing? On the inside of you. Isaiah prophesied about, he was talking about the Messiah, Jesus, and in that prophecy he said about Jesus, that God said, I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. God said he would put the Holy Spirit on Jesus while he was in man's form. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Joel prophesied, I will pour out my spirit on all people, even on servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days. So, yes, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon someone and used her, and then came on someone else and used them. But the Lord let them know that in the future, there's coming a day when I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on all people. All people are going to be able to experience that. So, not only was God letting know Israel they would be restored, but he was letting them know that the future Messiah would have the Spirit of the Creator on him, and the Spirit would be given to all people on the inside, and they would be moved to follow his decrees. And, you know, redemption, the whole picture of redemption is beautiful, but here's one of the things that I love. In the old covenant, it was all external, the things that they had to do, right? Wipe the cup so many times, do the animal this way, you know, divide the fat from the flesh, from the blood. And just, I mean, if you go through Leviticus and look at the laws, they were just law after law after law after law that they had to obey. Lots of things about eating and drinking, the ceremonies, their habits, a lot of thou shalt nots, actions, external actions. But the new way, the new covenant that came through Jesus Christ was going to be different. It was going to be internal. The Spirit of God that was hovering over those waters, the Spirit of God that was coming on certain people for certain times, would be able to come into everybody and change them from the inside out. Change them from the inside out. And then, after you go through a lot of the books of the Old Testament, there were 400 years of silence. Did you know that? 400 years of silence from the last prophecy that was given till John the Baptist. Okay? And, of course, Jesus. So people had to wait a long time. Sometimes, you know, we've not waited very long for many things. And, again, I think that makes us less appreciative of what has really happened. We read and we've read all of our lives about the things of Jesus, and we're like, yes, that's wonderful. But if you can try to imagine 400 years of silence from God and waiting on the promise. So after that, Zechariah, you know, he was a priest, and it came his turn to go into the Holy of Holies. And while he was there, an angel of the Lord came to him and told him that him and Elizabeth were going to have a son, and to name him John, and that John is going to prepare the way of the Lord for the Lord, and that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. This person, this baby you're going to have, will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And a few months later, the angel appeared to Mary, who was a virgin, and told her she would have a baby, a son, and she was to name him Jesus, and he would be great, and he would be called the Son of the Most High. And when Mary said, I'm a virgin, how is this possible? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that's how the impossible is going to be possible, right? So after Jesus was born, I'm going to walk you through the story now of Jesus. And you know, God is one. So as you tell the story of Jesus, you're telling the story of the Holy Spirit. You're telling the story of the Father. You're telling the story because God is one, although he manifests himself in three different ways. So after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to be dedicated. You remember this? And he was still a baby. And a man named Simeon was in the temple. And Simeon, the Bible says, had the Holy Spirit upon him. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. And so it had been revealed to him that though he was old, he would not die before he saw the Messiah. He was going to get to see the Lord's Christ. When he saw Jesus, the baby, he took him in his arms and he praised God and said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Can you see him doing that, knowing who this baby was? Nobody else understanding yet who this baby was. But he knew because the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Jesus grew up, and we have little details for 30 years. There are a few more details I could have included, but you can't tell everything in the Bible in one day, right? Okay. And John, who was prophesied also by Isaiah, by the way, you can look that up, and Isaiah prophesied that there would be one who would be a voice in the wilderness who would go before. John preached this message. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." This John, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, right? He knew what Jesus was coming to do. His job was to prepare the way. That's always intrigued me. Prepare the way. I mean, what exactly do you mean prepare the way? He started teaching them about repentance. That's preparing the way. Repentance, getting ready to believe, to receive, to believe in Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit requires repentance. And John was not easy on people. He called them a brood of vipers. He got real specific about the way they were living and overcharging people's taxes and things like that. And he told them that you need to live out the results of repentance. Live out the results of repentance. Because repentance is more than, it is, "I'm sorry and I need forgiveness." It is that. But there's another aspect of repentance that sometimes gets overlooked. If you can think of repentance as a sign that says, "Stop, don't go this way anymore, and turn around. Go completely a different direction." That is repentance. It's not just, "I'm sorry," but it is, "I'm sorry, forgive me, and I'm going to go the opposite direction of where I was walking." And John was teaching them about that. And John taught about believing, but he couldn't really complete that, could he? Because he said, Don't believe in me. I'm not the one, but there's one coming. That's who you're supposed to believe in. Because, see, I can only baptize you in the water. And John did baptize in the water, showing that they were believing his message, that there's one coming, that I'm repentant. But there's coming one. His baptism's not going to be just water. His baptism is going to be with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. That's pretty great, isn't it? All right. So that's what's John's role. And so we're starting to see, the gospel has been all the way through the Bible, but it's starting to kind of take shape into how people can participate in this new covenant. Okay? Jody, would you put that? I only have one slide today. And so these are some of the components that you're going to start to see unfold in the New Testament. Now notice, I tried hard not to get them in any order, okay? Because in the New Testament, the order sometimes is all mixed up. It's not always, I didn't want to make them a 1, 2, 3 and such a, because as you read the book of Acts, that's not what you see. You see it in all different orders. But so I want to put those up, and I want, as we keep going now through the ministry of Jesus and the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Spirit. I want us to kind of see how these are the major components of how you enter the new covenant. Okay? So, let me ask you some questions before we do that. Hear. You do have to hear. If one of them has to come in order, probably hear is probably going to have to be first. You have to hear about Jesus, right? You have to hear about God's plan. Somebody has to tell you, or you have to read it. Somebody, someplace, the Bible says that hearing comes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So at some point, you have to hear the word. So you're very blessed. I'm very blessed. We've heard God's word many times. You're hearing it again today. So the hearing is you've already done that. But then the believing part, I want to talk about that just for a minute, because John was telling them to believe, and I want to ask you about believing. Believing can have a lot of different meanings, and sometimes people just think it means to agree with it. But I want to ask you, do you believe this book? Do you really believe this book? Do you really believe that what happened over 2,000 years ago, and even before that, that affects your life and can affect your life, and that, you know, the supernatural things that you see in this story, do you really believe that that affects your eternity? You're really ready to bank your life on this book? And if you're a parent, sometimes I think it helps us to think of it this way. Are you really willing to bank Cade's life on this book? You confident that what you're telling your children is the absolute truth? I mean, you might have told your children sometime about a tooth fairy or a Santa Claus or, Easter Bunny. I don't know if you did or not, but if you did, we all knew those weren't true. We were just talking, right? But I'm asking you, there's going to come a day when your child's life and your life is going to depend on what you think about this book. Are you sure you really believe this book? You really believe that it can affect you? And have you ever really repented? Really repented with godly sorrow, realizing how much you need a Savior, accepting how the Bible describes us as sinners in need of a Savior, that we have no hope at all, that anybody who doesn't believe in Jesus is going to hell. There's a real hell and a real heaven. And though you've not seen any of those invisible things, you really believe them. Have you really repented? Have you stopped going the direction that you were going? Have you asked for your sins to be forgiven? Have you changed lords? Have you gotten you off the throne and there's a real Lord? And you know that Jesus is Lord of your life. Water baptism. You know, I find it interesting, going back to the old covenant, I was talking about everything being external. And this is something just in studying this week that I felt like the Lord showed me. You know, when Jesus came, he didn't say, throw away the old covenant. He said, I fulfill it. It was a good covenant. It was from the Lord Almighty God. It's not that, let's throw that in the trash. It's that I just finished it. That's what he was saying. I'm the last requirement. It's over. I'm finishing it. I am the Lamb, the ultimate Lamb. There'll be no more of that because I'm fulfilling everything that law was teaching you. Now look to me and you'll see that I fulfill every bit of it. So the Lord got rid of these external things, because the new covenant was going to be where? In, new spirit, inside, moving you to my decrees. But there are two external things that are in the New Testament that Jesus said to continue doing, and one of them is water baptism. The other one is the Lord's Supper. Two external things that we are still supposed to be doing. So water baptism, I think, is far deeper in meaning than just saying it's a public profession. I think that there is spiritual significance to water baptism. And we see it time and time again, and you'll see it today in the book of Acts. And if you've been reading the book of Acts, you're seeing it already. It seems to me that water baptism, when you're put into the water, you are put into Jesus. You're put in. You're put into his death. You're put into his resurrection. And that the Lord's Supper, Jesus is put into you. His body, his blood. Those two lasting external practices that we're supposed to have as Christians have great spiritual meaning, and they don't point to an old covenant. They point to Jesus, to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, because that's who we are all about, is Jesus. So water baptism is very, very important in the scripture. At age 30, Jesus asked John to baptize him. And of course, John said, oh, no, I couldn't baptize you. And Jesus said, I want you to do it to fulfill all righteousness. I want you to do it. And so John baptized him. And when Jesus came out of the water, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came down on him. Isn't that the most amazing thing? And can you remember that prophecy that we read earlier in Isaiah where God said, I will put my spirit on him? See, God never forgets a prayer and certainly never forgets a prophecy. Every prophecy you can find in the Old Testament, you'll find it fulfilled in the New Testament. It's fun. Do it sometime. Look for prophecies and go and find them. Look for prophecies and go and find them. They're there. So the Holy Spirit was put upon Jesus. Jesus was in the form of a man at that point. He was God, fully God, but he was fully man at that time. And so people actually got to see that happen, the Holy Spirit come upon the Son of God. And the voice of God spoke and said, this is my Son. So, you know, if you're standing there that day, this is my Son. Of course, they said, some said it just sounded like thunder. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Bible says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all can look these things up if you want to. I've been looking them up for a long time. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went from the baptism, it appears to me, to the wilderness, to the desert. It says the Spirit led him there. He fasted for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, Satan came to attack. Doesn't Satan always try to find a good time to attack you, a good way? He came when Jesus had been without food for 40 days. And so we know how that went. I don't have time to go through all of that. But, of course, Jesus did not yield at all. He was strong even though he had been fasting. Jesus returned from the desert. John, calling him John the Baptist now, John was in prison, and Jesus, at about 30 years old, now started his earthly ministry. And guess what he began to preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus also called his disciples, and of course Jesus started his earthly ministry of healing, helping, delivering, working miracles, showing people who the Father was, telling them, if you've seen me, you've seen him, rebuking evil, explaining Old Testament covenant, always saying, I'm the fulfillment of that covenant, and teaching, constant teaching. When he talked about him fulfilling the old covenant and saying that he was the completion of it, that was pretty much the final straw for the Jewish religion. You can imagine that they have, for all their lives, followed the Jewish law, the old covenant. And now here stands a man who's saying, you don't have to do it anymore. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You come to the Father through me. And that just, they could not deal with that. It was the religious leaders who thought it was complete heresy. I'd love to go through all the teachings of Jesus with you. You wouldn't probably love that today, but I'm only going to go one place, John 3, because this is a clear place where somebody was asking him, well, okay, I can just see this in my mind, Nicodemus. You preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You preach that. How does a man see that kingdom? That's pretty much what Nicodemus asked him, right? How do you see this kingdom that you're saying the kingdom of heaven is near? Where's the kingdom? How you get in the kingdom? That's what he was asking him in John 3. So we are going to flip there. Would you turn to John 3 with me? So I remember learning this story as a child, and for some reason, the main detail I remember is that he came to him in the night, right? This is the one about the night. I think I got stuck on that more than anything. But let's see what happened here. There was a man of the Pharisees, okay, religious leader, named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus said. Surely he cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now they go on, and Nicodemus tells them he doesn't understand, and Jesus says, you're a leader and you don't understand, and Jesus talks to him about the wind. And that's an interesting little spot. Jesus was always trying to teach people by showing them something they could understand. And finally Jesus says, I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand. How can I talk to you about heavenly things? You don't even understand the earthly things I'm trying to explain this with. You know, I can't really explain the heavenly things to you. Basically, you see the wind, you feel the wind, you hear the wind, but you don't know what started the wind. You don't know where it's going. And that's the way it is with the Spirit. You can hear the Spirit, can see the Spirit, you can feel the Spirit, but you can't totally understand the Holy Spirit, can you? Y'all do? I don't totally understand everything about the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing. All right, so let's move on. After he taught, I was talking about him teaching, and then finally, they made a plan to kill him. As his death approached, Jesus told his disciples that after he was gone, the Father would send, and this comes from the Bible, the Counselor, who would convict people of sin and would be the Spirit of truth to guide them into all truth, and that he would make known to them the glory of God. In fact, he said, it's better if I go away, because if I go away, then the Counselor can come. I mean, look at the things that the Spirit was going to do. Convict of sin. He'll be truth. He'll guide you into all truth. And he will make known to you the glory of God. The Jewish religious leaders followed through with their plan, and they had Jesus crucified. It's really important to slow down here and understand what happened on the cross. Of course Jesus hurt physically. Unimaginably tortured. It's also important to understand spiritually what was happening to Jesus on the cross. All of the sin and all of the evil that mankind has ever thought, has ever done in the past, or will ever do was put on him. All of the heartache that sin brings, all of the tears, all of the despair, all of the hopelessness, all of that was placed on Jesus. He was completely cut off from God. Completely. forsaken. No comfort, no justice, no love, no father, no hope. That's what he was experiencing in addition. And for a person, or he was God-man, who was sinless, to now have it all heaped on him, that's what he endured. The Bible says that the wrath of God was poured out on him and that it crushed him. It crushed him. And after enduring that, the Bible says that Jesus spoke these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and breathed his last. It's important to note that he placed his spirit into the hands of the Father. Jesus' body was taken down. He was placed in a tomb, but on the third day, the tomb was empty, and he began to appear. He began to appear for about the next 40 days. He would go and talk to his followers and appear to them, remind them that he had told them that all of this was going to happen. And the Bible says that one of the last times that they saw him, he told them this: "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." And signs, he also told them that signs would accompany those who believe. He also opened their minds to the scriptures and told them, "I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know, a witness is someone who was there, who saw it, right? You're going to go now from just knowing about to being a witness. It's going to be something you can tell, because it is going to have happened to you. When this power comes on you, you'll witness, because it will be your story. It will have happened to you. Then he led them out to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven right before their very eyes. Do you believe that? He was taken up right before their very eyes. Sometime teach our children. You'll love telling these stories to them, especially when they've just heard it for maybe the first time or just gotten old enough. And you listen to your words and you're telling this child, "And Jesus went up like this." And they're like, "He did? Yes, he did." So don't ever get so sophisticated that you quit, you know, seeing it and believing it, because that's belief. That's exactly what he did. Have I ever seen anybody do that? No. That's faith. The Bible says it. I believe it. That's the way it was. Childlike faith. And when the day of Pentecost came, now Jesus has gone up. He's told them what to do, right? Stay in the city till they get the gift. The gift that I've been telling you about, you're going to receive power. And when you get this power, you're going to be witnesses. It's the same thing that Ezekiel talked about. It's the same thing that Joel talked about hundreds of years ago. So when the day of Pentecost came, a sound like violent wind came from heaven, and they saw what looked like fire on each other. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course they were. Jesus promised it. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And people who heard this were amazed. And they said, "What does this mean?" And of course some made fun of them and said they were drunk. Peter stood up. Peter, who denied Jesus three times. That same Peter, but he's not the same anymore. Because what's different about Peter now? He just got filled with the Holy Spirit. He just received the Holy Spirit. And so this Peter, who, no, I don't know him. No, I'm not with that man. He stood up in front of the whole crowd, and he began to preach. And he told them exactly who Jesus was, and he told them exactly what some of them had done to him. He also told them, this is what was prophesied by Joel. And he quoted that scripture, that Old Testament from Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people. It's happening, y'all. That's what he said. It's happening. Then, when he finished preaching all about Jesus, because they were hearing, right? They had to hear. Didn't they have to hear? They had to hear who Jesus was. They had to hear what Jesus had done. You have to preach Jesus. If you're going to try to lead somebody to the Lord, tell them the story of Jesus. That's my recommendation. Don't jump around trying to talk about grace yet. Tell them who Jesus is, what he did. Bear witness to the fact that you believe it. So Peter did that. And when he finished doing that, the Bible says that the people there were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And they asked, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, guess what he replied? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and your children's children, all those who are far off, all who the Lord will call. All who the Lord will call. It's for all who the Lord will call. The same message. Hear. Believe. Right? Be water baptized. This is what Jesus says. This is what John the Baptist says. This is what Peter said under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Repent. I don't care what order you get them in, but here's what you need to do. Repent. Receive. Be water baptized. Believe. Now, let's look at a few other places in Acts. You know, it's my understanding, I'm no scholar, but I love studying God's Word. Brother Jimmy knows all these terms for it, but it's my understanding that to study God's Word accurately, you compare the Word to the Word. Right? You compare, you make sure that you're not pulling this one little random thing out and making that a doctrine where there's other things that need to apply to that, right? They need to agree. The Word needs to, you need to make sure you're agreeing across the whole counsel of Scripture. Is that what it's called? Are we not getting the whole counsel of Scripture today on this issue of how you enter the kingdom of heaven? I mean, I think we are. It's not my counsel. I'm just telling you what the Bible says in these places. If you can't say amen to that, you're not amening me. You're just amening what the counsel of Scripture says, looks like to me. All right, so let's go on and look at other places where we, that's my point was, it's going to happen again. That's my point. This has happened because some people like to say, that was just on the day of Pentecost. No, it wasn't. Read the book of Acts. So let's keep looking. Acts 8. If you want to flip to Acts 8, if you want to mark some of these down and read them sometime, these are awesome, amazing. So we know we think of Acts as the beginning of the church, the birth of the new covenant, the Acts of the Apostles, right? Jesus has ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit has been poured out, and now we begin to see how he gets poured out on people. And we are now in the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, which we're still under the last days. Okay, Acts 8. When the apostles heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, this is starting in verse 14, I apologize, I'm starting in verse 14. When the apostles heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, check that carefully, accepted the word of God, sounds like believe to me. They sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that interesting to you? That was super interesting. It still is super interesting to me. I'm trying to process all that. They sent them there, and they have started to, this is Peter and John, they've decided they need to pray for these people because they've not received the Holy Spirit, even though they've been baptized and that they've received the Word of God. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Acts 9, you can flip there if you want to. Acts 9, Saul. You know the story of Saul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's a persecutor of Christians, murdering them and other things. And he is blinded by a great light. And he's left blinded. He's met the Lord. You know, the Lord calls out, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I mean, it's God talking to Saul. And so Saul ends up blind. And so the Lord speaks to a man named Ananias in a vision, because that's, our Lord is supernatural. He gives him a vision. And he tells him, "I want you to go pray for Saul." Of course, Ananias knew who Saul was. He didn't want to go pray for him. They had some conversation there. Ananias went, and in verse 9:17 it says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He got up and was baptized." Baptized. Okay. All right, Acts 10. God sent Peter to Cornelius's house. Cornelius is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. Peter preaches to them the truth about Jesus. He lets them hear the story of Jesus. And verses 44 through 48 say, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard this message. The circumcised believers," that's the Jews who would have been with Peter, "who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." And then Peter said, I can almost see him, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See some of those elements over and over and over? Go back to Acts 19. That's where we started, and that's where we're going to finish. While Apollos was at Corinth, Peter took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism." Well, the first time I really dug in, I was like, well, that explains it. They didn't know about Jesus. They had had John's baptism, and that explains it. That's why they don't have the Holy Spirit. But let's keep going. And Paul said, "Well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one who is coming after him. That is in Jesus." So now they've heard about Jesus. "On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus." Now they've believed in Jesus and been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So if it would have stopped there, I wouldn't have been so amazed by the story. But it said, When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And that's the question I had to ask myself. Have I had this experience that is clearly prophesied, that Jesus clearly talked about, and that I see over and over and over in the book of Acts? My answer was no. Had I heard the word? Absolutely, I had. Had I believed it? Yes, I had. Had I been water baptized? Yes, I was. I had repented as well. But I don't have this New Testament experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. I had known the Lord, followed Him, but I didn't have that experience. And it looks like they knew it when they had it. And it looks like others knew it when they didn't. And they even sent people to help them. I can't deny that. I don't care what denomination I'm in or out of. I just have to look at what the Bible says. And I had to say, Lord, I don't have that. I don't know why I missed it. I don't know if it's my fault. I'm sorry. I need it. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I've tried to witness for you. I've been on mission trips. I've sat in people's houses and went through the pamphlet. Inside of me, the whole time I went through the pamphlet, I was like, ugh, I didn't feel good. I just tell me I didn't. I've prayed with youth. I've been a youth minister, a music minister, Sunday school teacher, discipleship training teacher, choir member. Yes, I knew the Lord. Yes. But I had never received this kind of power. And I needed it. I needed that. I wanted to be an eyewitness. I wanted to be somebody that the fire was in, that I'd had a baptism of fire and power, and I could want to talk like I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about this because this is who I am. This is who's inside of me. I got a new spirit and a new heart, and it's not like me. This is really not my personality, if you know me. But when that fire comes into you, you have to talk about Him. You have to. You've seen the glory of God, and it is a game changer. And it's the promise of the Father. And if you don't have it, you don't earn it. He didn't tell those people on the day of Pentecost, you're going to have to go home and pray a while and wait. He said, believe and you will receive it. You will. They went to Cornelius' house and Peter stood up and started preaching. He didn't even have time to give the invitation. He's up there preaching who Jesus is and people start glorifying God, speaking out in tongues. And they said, I guess we're going to have to baptize these people. They just all got filled with the Holy Spirit just the way He did with us. It's from God. That's the part of it that I missed. I did all I knew to do. I didn't know there was something supposed to come from heaven. I didn't get that part. I didn't understand that part. I didn't ask for that part. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you are. I just know where I was in 2007. And on February the 25th of 2008, the gift from the Father came to my life. I didn't earn it. I'm no better than I was in 2007 as far as me. But He sent the gift. The Holy Spirit gift. And now, even though I'm far from perfect, I want to witness here, there, Collinsville, Meridian, Dominican. I can't help it because He said it would be that way. And I'm moved inside to follow His decrees. Inside. It's not because I have to. I don't lay around and read my Bible because I have to. It's what I want to do. He's in me. If you're trying to do it without Him in you, it's not the way. You're going to burn out. You're going to keep rededicating your life over and over trying to figure it out. What is it? Why don't I would sit in church and we would do the Lord's Supper. And I'd think, this is the body of my Lord and I feel nothing. You ever done that? You probably wouldn't admit it. This is the blood of Jesus, and I'm thinking about lunch. What's wrong with me? it's not that way anymore. And the more now that I concentrate on staying in tune with the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive I become. The more you commune with the Spirit of God, you move to a sensitivity place with Him. But you can't do it without the Spirit. He was a Spirit. He always has been a Spirit. God is Father, Son, and Spirit. That's who He is. The Spirit hovered over the waters. And one day He said He's going to be in you. And this is how it happens. It looks like it's how it happens to me. We can sit down and read our Bibles together later today or another day. I'd love to. If you see it a different way, if that's not what it says to you, that's fine. That's just what I can't deny. It meant a big change for me. I was brought up in a denomination that did not teach it that way. We had to lay down some of that. Doesn't mean that they were wrong. Just means that on this aspect, which I feel is very important, there was not what I consider a fullness. A fullness. Jesus came to fulfill the whole covenant and put the Spirit inside of you. So I don't know where you are today. I'm going to go back to the question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If you have an absolute yes, I know that I know that I know that I know, then right now your heart's thumping inside because that's God's heart thumping in you. And you're thinking how grateful. You're not sitting there. See, that's the thing the devil does. The devil tries to say, well, you're saying that we're puffed up. Oh, no. You're sitting inside with your heart beating out of your chest saying, thank you, Jesus, I remember. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for sending your Spirit to the Father. Thank you, Father, for pouring it out on me. Hallelujah. 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 That's the heart of a Spirit-filled Christian. It's not pride. It's the furthest thing from pride. Do you have a hesitation about answering the question? Are you unsure? Are you sitting there? I think so. I've prayed most of my life, and I've done a few trips, and I remember that time in revival. You're kind of sorting it. You shouldn't be having to sort it like that. From God's word, it seems it was very clear to people. They knew, or they knew they'd had not. Those people, when He asked them at Ephesus, they said no. Oh, we've not heard about Him. They knew. They didn't hide it. Well, yes, we're very spiritual here. Of course we have. We're disciples. They just said no. We hadn't. And so because they were just so open, they said no. He was able to just tell them, and then they had the Holy Spirit. It's nothing to be prideful or embarrassed about. Maybe you've really heard the word today for the first time. I don't know. Maybe you never truly believed the gospel. I don't know. Maybe you thought you repented, but now you've looked and thought about it and it didn't look like a turnaround for you. No change of lordship. Maybe you've never been water baptized. Maybe where you were, the people you were around said it was kind of optional, good thing to do. Maybe you never had the chance. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you really got repentant and converted later in life, and you were baptized when you were a little bitty, and now you know, I really wasn't a believer when I got that baptism. Maybe you've heard, you've believed, you've repented. You've been water baptized. Jesus is your Lord. You've been serving Him. But you've not experienced what the Bible describes as the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And you want that. You want that power. You want that presence. You want that love. And you realize today that you need the gift from on high. You know that you've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire. Well, you can today. The Bible says it's for all. It's for all who the Lord will call. who the Lord will call. Is He calling you? There's no need to be nervous about it. Some people make it weird and scary. Shouldn't. Holy Spirit is not weird. He's not. He's God. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He is the Spirit of the Father. The Bible says if you ask Him for a fish, He's not going to give you a snake. If you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a rock. Matter of fact, He says, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody in here. I don't know where we are, but I know this. I have to give you the opportunity. I have to give you the opportunity today to deal with this question. So if you can't answer yes, and you believe that there is that the Bible, what we've shared today, is the way that it is, this is the truth, and you've received that today, then today's your day to receive the Holy Spirit. Step out on faith and receive the Holy Spirit. Faith. God responds to faith. Get real with God. Don't lie to yourself. That's one of the things that we have to not do, is not lie to ourselves. Compare what's happened to you to what's happened to the Word, not what somebody else told you. And listen to God, and He's going to talk to you. And God will definitely do this if this is what you need. Jesus gave His life so you could be one with Him the way that He and the Father and the Spirit are one. He prayed it in John 17. Do you think Jesus' prayers are answered? Absolutely. It's the will of God. Are they answered in your life? Is He calling you? We're going to just turn on some music. Come to the altar if you need the Holy Spirit. Get up. Get on your face before the Lord and just talk to Him. God, that's never happened to me. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you need to start with Him, but He'll let you know. And don't be embarrassed. We get so uptight. We make things so weird and formal. Y'all know me. I know you. We talk to each other. Let's get before the Lord together. If you need somebody to help you, sometimes people had others lay hands on them so they could help them receive, help them pray, help them have the faith to ask. Ask questions of somebody. Just receive what the Lord has for us today. Amen? That's what we're going to do. If you're just there rejoicing, then get up and rejoice about receiving the Holy Spirit. Be useful to somebody else. Just let the Lord move.